We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're live from Nakama in Wexford on Starkey and Muller. We're going to have the Ramon Foster show for you. A three-man booth for that show at 5:30 in this very building in, what, 3.5 hours. And, man, what a day to be talking to one of the vocal leaders in the Steelers locker room. And what a day to consider the transaction, Joe, emotionally, intellectually, that we all sort of make in watching high-level professional football after what happened in Cincinnati last night.
Man, and how quickly it subsides for some people. Like, I heard people today saying, yeah, I couldn't watch the first half, but by the third quarter, I still can't really process the game too much. You know what I mean?
Have you watched the play that Shazier was injured on at all today?
Yes.
I haven't watched it since the initial run of replays. Haven't watched it, haven't had a desire to watch it, haven't had a desire to look at a man whose legs at that point have no movement in them, flip himself over so naturally and athletically still, which is sort of freaky, that I actually thought he might have just gotten the wind knocked out of him the way his hands were up. Like, oh, man, I got crushed on this play. I haven't wanted to watch it. I haven't wanted to think about it. It, for me, drove home the idea that just like if you're watching a boxing match and one of the guys is put in a coma or something as a result, is it really worth continuing to sort of throw my full weight behind this as an entertainment spectacle?
Yeah, man, I couldn't tweet at all about the game. I couldn't really watch the game without all I thought about was, is he okay? Can he move his legs? That was the thought that kept coming through my mind. I'm amazed.
Do you know what I saw somebody tweet? Hope you're back for New England, bro.
Well, there's that. And then
I mean,
there's
it's amazing that
things like this, you know, bring out the depravity that we see pretty much on a day-to-day basis in the world. And you saw people talking about karma with his hit, you know, because of the hit on Bernard a few years ago. It's just, it's sickness. But what I'm amazed at is the ability, I guess it's admirable, of players to somehow put that aside and not just go through the motions. Because I've seen situations like that in sports where athletes understandably go through the motions after somebody sustains a traumatic injury. The Steelers didn't just do that. They reached down and found a way to compete and come back and win a game. And it was unbelievable to watch.
I still feel weird calling it what it probably is, which is one of Mike Tomlin's most impressive regular season victories given the circumstances. I feel weird going too far down the road of, even though that's our job is, hey, we're still going to talk about the game, of saying, boy, what a great job. In saying what a great job they did refocusing and finding a way to win, the subtext of that is what a great job they did blocking out the fact that one of their teammates and leaders might never walk again, to their knowledge at that point, to the end of winning a football game. It feels like such an odd observation to sort of laud them for when the stakes for Ryan Shazier were then and still are very much incredibly high for not just his football career, which seems secondary, but his life and his livelihood and everything else. It's right to say it. They did an unbelievable job in the second half, not wilting. But in lauding them for it, it just feels odd.
And then it feels odd to be somebody watching the game, you know, and observing the game and all kinds of people making tweets about, you know, this play and that play as if it matters. And I guess to a certain degree, it still does. I don't know. What I know is this, is that when we sit down and watch a football game, we know that something like that can happen. What I know more is that the players sign up for this, and they'll be the first to tell you this is just what they do. And that's why not only did you see the Steelers come back and win, it was described as sort of a jovial locker room. This is what football players are trained to do from the time they're little kids. And I saw, is it Lewis Riddick on television, who's really good? And he talked about, think about a practice. We've all seen this. Think about a football practice. What happens when a guy goes down? He's basically just carted away. Next play. right, wrong, bad, good, callous, or not, that's the way football is from the time these guys are, what, 8 years old?
If not younger in some cases. Ross Tucker is one of the smartest dudes around, a Princeton guy who played offensive line, a dangerous position. Like, I had shades of Mike Utley running through my head with Shazier once it was obvious his legs weren't moving. And Ross Tucker tweeted something to the effect of, he's been on the field for plays where a guy was hurt that badly or it looked that grim right off the bat, and that's serious. He said the first play after is awkward for everybody. By the next, literally the next play, it's business as usual.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want to say, oh, the players don't know that this is part and parcel with or, you know, to the game. They do. It makes me think, man, if they could somehow ever find a way, and it's so impractical to get guaranteed deals, like as far as for the players themselves to buck up and say, we're going to suck it up for a year and sit out or something. It makes me think about that. Most of all, though, I think what I came out of that game saying was, for all the blood sport style hits that there were, for Juju on Perfect and Iloka on AB, both of those guys suspended, which we'll be talking about a lot, the play Shazier gets hurt on, Joe, is so innocuous in the context of what a football game is. If you sit there and watch football, and you watch your average NFL game every Sunday, or college game, mind you, you see plays like the one that injured Shazier all the time. It's integral to what the game actually is. That was the thing that kind of got me, that nothing drives home that this is what football is more than the fact that the scariest play was also one of the most mundane of the entire game.
And yet, I've been afraid, and I'll just say this because I heard people like Charles Woodson say it, I've been afraid for Shazier for a long time.
Sure.
With the way that he
How
tackles.
How could you not?
You go back to the Bernard hit of a few years ago, and I'll just let guys who have played the game say it. Charles Woodson afterward said, this is a lesson. He said, please, I've told players who dive into piles or tackle head first, please keep your head up. And Gruden, for everything he said wrong last night, said that right away. He said tackle with his head down there, and that's never good news. And you look at the very play before that. I think it was a running play. Maybe it was Bernard or Mixon. And Shazier went in the same way. And like I said, man, I've been afraid for him for a long time tackling that way. Not that other guys don't do it. Tons of guys do.
He's the guy on their team, though, that goes in there most like a missile with his head, or a battering ram with his head, as almost an afterthought. And I don't think it's callous to say it. You know why, Joe? Because if so much of our opening theme here in discussion has been surrounding how this is what football is, and everybody knows that, viewers and players know it, players know it better than anybody, it's not out of bounds because the man is so hurt to express worry that this day might come for him, because it's part of how he does his job. Part of what we do is observing how he does his job and commenting on it. Charles Woodson played the game. Guys know this, and man, it gets me that Ryan Shazier has to have been spoken to by other people, by coaches, about like, hey man, you've got to watch. Like, this is dangerous. You're putting yourself at major risk. And it says something to me that it's still, I think, the way he wants or knows best how to go about his business.
Yeah, that stuck with me. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on tackling form, but when Charles Woodson is literally pleading with young players after the game, keep your head up when you tackle, that stayed with me. And what else stays with me is Mike Tomlin today, as somber as I've ever seen him. Even though the news, relatively speaking, seemed good on Shazier, and he's talking about, you know, Shazier's talking to his fiance and his parents, and just very, I thought, you know, appropriately somber today. But still, I know we're going to talk about so many things today, including the suspensions. All I'm thinking about is I want to see Ryan Shazier upright again.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.